Get my mic on here. Good evening. Welcome, y'all, to our Wednesday night service here at Living Water Ministries. We hope you're tuned in tonight watching us live on Facebook. We've got a few here tonight with us to help with our worship, as usual, and we've got a couple others that'll just be amening me a little bit. So we are glad you are here with us tonight. Got some prayer requests I want to open up with. Want to update you on George Ann. I talked to her daughter today, and she is doing much better. The word she actually used was she's on the mend, and said that they'll have more about her tomorrow, but she is definitely improving. And her daughter thanks all of you for all the prayers for Miss George Ann. Brenda, if you're watching tonight, we'd like to pray for you tonight. We will. Brenda had a little fall and bumped up her head a little bit, and she's okay, but little roughed up. So we'll pray for you tonight, Brenda, that God touches you and gives you what you need tonight. Miss Dorothy, Sherry's mom, is in the back in the hospital. So let's remember Miss Dorothy. She's got pneumonia again, and be praying for her that God will touch her body and bring healing to her. But we all know you have needs out there. We know all of you's got something you're battling, and so we are, like always, going to open up tonight with prayer. So if you're watching, pray with me tonight. Father, we call these names out before you. We thank you for George Ann's improvement. We thank you you're helping her along day by day, Lord. We give you praise for that. She's such a special part of our hearts and our church here. We pray for Miss Brenda, God. You help her with her recovery as she got bumped up, but you just watch over her and let all things be restored again. Let her be okay from this fall. Lord, we just we thank you for all the – we thank you for being God, Lord, of all needs. We pray for Miss Dorothy as she's laying there in the hospital. We just pray that you touch her body again. You've done it before. We know you can do it again because you are the healer. Lord, bless all those that are watching. Bless all of our church family. Just meet their needs. And, God, I pray right now for our church family that they not fear what's happening around them. That, God, you bring peace to their hearts and their minds. Bring peace, God, to them and not fear. Let them know you are in control, that you are still God, and nothing changes that. We thank you we serve a God that we can place all of our trust in, not just when times are good or when times are safe, but in times of danger, God, in times of toils and snares, you are still God. When thousands are falling by our side, God, you said it will not come nigh our dwelling. We believe that, and we pray that, and we confess that in the name of Jesus. We seal and pray over our church family, God, during this time. We pray for them financially. We pray for them spiritually. We pray for each of you physically. We pray for you mentally right now, as so many things are happening. But God, we are thankful. We serve a living God who is not dead, but very much alive. And you are still on the throne. Bless the worship tonight and bless the word tonight as we do another faith story. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of you out there say amen. And worship along with us where you're at. Sing along and worship.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. serve you. I want to serve you. To serve you now and for always. You are my King forever. Pour out your power in love as we sing worthy, worthy, worthy. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Strength of my life, I want to serve you. I want to serve you. You are the strength of my life, Lord. You are the strength of my life. I want to serve you. I want to serve you. To serve you now and for always. My King forever, pour out your power in love as we sing worthy, 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 worthy. You are so worthy, 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 worthy. I want to serve. Worthy, 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 worthy. I want to serve you. Holy, 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 holy. I want to serve. I want to see you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Majesty.
changed by His love and His grace. So this song is So You Would Know, and it's perfect for now times, because how many times does He have to prove His love for you? He does it for us throughout every day, throughout every triumph, through every trouble that we face whatsoever. He's there to prove that He loves us, and He does it all the time. And the question is, do you recognize or notice that He's showing how much He loves you? And He's showing you very much so right now.
Love you.
What a great message in that song. How much he loves us. I love the part, put a hedge about us. And he has a hedge about us now, people. Do not fear. The devil does not win this battle or any other. He has already lost the war. And I thank God for that. We're going to get into another faith story. It's called Stories of Faith, Chapter 3. And tonight we're going to be talking about a miraculous story of faith whenever the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. This is a beautiful story of the power of God and the faith of Moses obeying God in very troubling times. So we're going to be in Exodus chapter 14 tonight. And we all need stories of faith right now, don't we? That is for sure. We know that the times is challenging. All times are challenging. This is a different challenge. But there is no challenge bigger than God. And we're going to read about, let me set it up a little bit for you before getting to get reading, because what had happened, as you know, is the children of Israel had been delivered through Moses by God from Egypt. They were slaves for 400 years. And they prayed and said, God, send us a deliverer. Send us someone to get us out of this captivity. Well, they did. Moses appeared before Pharaoh 10 times. And there were 10 plagues that hit the children of Egypt, but did not touch the children of God. Want to make that point very clear, how that God has his people and that God is watching his people and God is taking care of his people. And so these 10 plagues came. They did not touch the people of God. The last plague was the death angel that passed through the streets, and the firstborn of the Egyptians died in this plague. Finally, Pharaoh had enough and he snapped. He says, you know what? Take your people. Take the possessions. Just go. I've carried too much. Just go. So they did. They're marching along. They're taking all their possessions. They're taking all their stuff. They're marching out of Egypt as free people. And they're so excited and they're so happy. But in chapter 14, on their journey, God does something. Now, I say this all the time. We don't like the process. The process stinks sometimes. We like the beginning because it's new and exciting. We like the end because of the final result if we win. But the process is hard. And here they were in a process of escaping captivity and going to the promised land. But God did something in chapter 14 for his glory and for his glory only. It says in verse 1, the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pahathroth between Migdal and the sea over against Baal-zephon. Before it shall you encamp by the sea. So, you know, this verse don't sound like much, but a bunch of long words that's hard to pronounce. But it has a great meaning. The Lord turned their direction. He told them to go a different way. Why would God do that? Because God was positioning them where he wanted them to be so he would get the glory. It wouldn't make sense why he would send them this way in the natural, because he's sending them right to where the Red Sea's at. How can you cross a Red Sea? How can you cross a body of water with 2 million people and animals? That's exactly where God wanted them to be, because God was ups to a plan. And he had something in mind. And he was about to show off who he really was. I'm so thankful I got a God who can outdraw anybody else, so to speak. Verse 3. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, and the wilderness hath shut them in. That's a very familiar phrase right now, right? Shut in. They thought Pharaoh would think, okay, they're lost. They don't know where they're going. We've got them. So something happened to Pharaoh. Verse 4. I, God, will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he will follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all of his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Remember, Egypt was full of false gods, a lot of false deities, and they worshiped those. And God was going to show the Egyptians who he really was. He's going to show, none of your false gods can do what this true living God can do. So he's going to send Pharaoh after him, after he done released him. Now the devil keeps on chasing, don't he? We think as Christians, okay, he's off my back, but he always comes back. He's like a boomerang. He's not going to leave you alone forever. He's going to come back over and over and over. That's what he does. Because Satan is like a lion. He's roaring to and fro. He's seeking those he may devour. So we got to always, as Ephesians 6 tells us, put on the armor of God. All of it. And when we've done all, we stand. And we're at a place right now with what's happening that all we can do as Christians is stand. Stand on the truth, stand on our faith, stand on His Word. Don't let fear reign, let faith reign, and trust God that in this dark storm we're in, He is still in the storm. No matter what we see, no matter what we hear, God's voice is still the only voice that really matters, and that's the voice I am listening to. And I hope you are listening to that voice. Verse 5, "And it was told the king of Egypt that all the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, 'Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?'" Remember, this was free labor for all of these years for these pharaohs and these kings. And now he's saying, "We've let them go. What have we done? I can't believe I made that decision." So his heart was hardened. He was mad. So he says in verse 6, "Make my chariots ready." And he took his people with him. He took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and the captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. Hallelujah. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea. Now, my title of my message tonight, I know you can't see it from home, the title of my message was "See No More," S-E-A, "See No More." All of you watching have a sea maybe in your life that's blocking you from walking into what God has for you, whether that's fear or discouragement, defeat, poverty, sickness, something in your way that's blocking you from moving to where you want to be with God. But God is saying, "See no more. I can take out of your life what's blocking you. I can break down those walls. I can lift off that thing that's holding you back, because I'm God. I'm the healer. I'm the counselor. I'm the redeemer. I'm the protector. I'm all that you ever need, because I'm an awesome God." And so anything we're battling, God is able to take that out of our way, that we can cross over to where He wants us to be. The devil puts blocks in front of us, but sometimes, just like Joseph, God put Joseph in prison. God allowed that to happen. God positioned him in prison for a greater purpose. It's in the prison cell sometimes we see God the very most. It's in the lowliest parts of our life that we seek God the most. It's in the darkest hours that we see God the most. It's in the most noisy moments we can sometimes hear God the most, if we will focus on Him and keep our eyes on Him. And God is going to do something for these children of Israel that's miraculous and that's absolutely amazing. And He's still doing that in our lives today. Verse 10. "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes and beheld the Egyptians marching after them. And they were afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord." Do we really think God went through all He did for our lives to get us through what we've gotten to and through for us to be defeated in the end? Absolutely not. God had 10 plagues to hit the enemies of the children of Israel. God rescued the children of Israel. God promised to Abraham a land that he would inherit forever and ever unto his next generations after generation. God has already promised it. The plan of God is not going to be foiled by the attack of the enemy. The plan of God for your life cannot be altered by what the devil tries to present. God has got your life in His hands. God is watching over you. God is in you. God is leading you. God is guiding you. God is in control. Keep your eyes on God, not the Egyptian that's all around you, whatever that Egyptian is, whatever that army is. Right now, there's an army of fear sweeping this nation. But in the name of Jesus, fear has to bow at the name of Jesus Christ. Fear has to bow. Say amen to that at home, because you know it's true. Fear don't have no power over God. He defeated fear at Calvary. He defeated death at Calvary. He defeated everything at Calvary. Every enemy was at the feet of Jesus when He rose the third day and came alive forevermore. Every single obstacle that could ever stop the people of God from inheriting what they were going to inherit was over and done with and defeated. And we are victorious through Jesus Christ our Lord. And these people were victorious, but immediately fear set in because they saw the army coming after them. Quit looking at what's coming after you and start looking at what is leading you. Stop looking at what's behind you and look at what's ahead of you. Stop worrying about what could happen. Understand what is happening. I am now the redeemed of the Lord, and situations don't change that at all. It doesn't cancel out the blessing of God because there's cursings all around me. That's whom I trust, the Lord. But their eyes went to the Egyptian army instead of to the Lord their God, and they cried out of fear. And they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, has you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore have you dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Isn't that how we are? We ain't never satisfied. It's too cold. It's too hot. It's too dry. It's too wet. Sky's too blue. Sky ain't blue enough. Grass too green. I hate mowing. I love mowing. I hate leaves. I love leaves. We're like that as people. They begged. They cried to God how many years? Oh, Lord, send us a deliverer. A deliverer came. A deliverer brought them out. And at the first sign of trouble, they're ready to fold up like a taco and go back to what they were. Are you serious? Why do we do that? We've got to trust God through the whole process, not just the parts that are good or the parts we understand or the parts that seem right. But God, I trust you through the whole process, through the ups and the downs, because it's like this. The process of God is like this. It's a journey, but God is in the journey, and God is in each step, and God is ordaining each step, and God is leading each step. Trust that. Let that be what you see, the process that God is working, not what the enemy is trying to disrupt. Hallelujah. Verse 12, is not this the word that we did tell you in Egypt? Look at this. Is this not what we told you, Moses? Leave us alone. No, that's not what you told them. Liar, liar, pants on fire. You didn't tell them that at all. You cried for a deliverer. Now you've got one. Now you're mad about it. We've got to trust God whatever we see, whatever we're facing, whatever rises up. We are the people of God, and we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk in the power of joy and peace, not in the power of fear and defeat. We walk in the light as He is in the light and not in the darkness that we can't see. We as Christians can see what's happening. Though the world is a little chaotic, I can still see what's happening. Lord, you're still in control, and I'm following you. I'm trusting you. I'm believing you. I'm satisfied with you. You are enough. And as long as I know, God, you're my Father, that you're my King, all is well with my soul. In my home, in my car, in my job, wherever I can or can't go right now, you go with me. Because they can't shut you out, God. They can't shut your power. They can't shut out your love. They can't close the doors of who you are, your grace, your mercy, your righteousness, your forgiveness. They can't ever shut that out, no matter how hard people try. They cannot stop the mouth of God or the hand of God from moving. Glory to God. It's a good preacher for five people up in here. Hallelujah. Oh, let's finish verse 12. Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. Oh my goodness. Would we rather die free or live as slaves? I want you to think about that. I heard that in a movie. I thought it was pretty profound. I would rather die free than live enslaved. And as long as I've got God, I don't have to be enslaved. Whom the Son has set free is what, y'all? Free indeed. So I'm free. I don't have to be bound to what the world is telling me I have to feel. I don't have to worry about the numbers that are rising and putting such fear in my lives that I can't function. The numbers may be rising, but my God has already risen, hallelujah, and that's what counts. He is King, and that's all that matters to me. And I trust Him. All of my days are in His hand. God already knows the day that He will take us home. Me and Gail talked about that the other day at the cemetery. God's got our days numbered. He knows what's going to take us out. So you know what? I'm going to live my life to the fullest, trusting God as much as I can, knowing that, you know what? He knows my future, and I trust that. So why am I living in fear about what might happen when God already knows what's going to happen? So I just trust Him. So don't live in bondage of fear to where your life is so altered by the voices. And I know many aren't talking this way. Hopefully men of faith are and women of faith are, but many are not. We are seeing the doom and the gloom and all the sadness and all the fear and all this stuff. I want to encourage you, my God is still God of 2020. He was God of Paul, Peter, and John. He was God of Joshua, Daniel, Samson, and David. And he's God of 2020 generation. He's the God of the USA. He's God of China, Japan. He's God of all creation. And he's not changed. He is still the ruler and creator of all things. And that's whom my faith is in and the voice that I want to hear. He tells them, we'd rather serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Think about this. I want you, y'all that are watching, listen to this. You'd really rather die in the bondage of something else or live in the bondage of something else than to die in the freedom God's given you. Not me. Not me at all. I want to live in the freedom and the peace. Remember what Jesus said when he was leaving the earth? He told his disciples, they were worried about, you know, were afraid, what are we going to do? He says, don't worry. Peace I leave with you. And this peace shall remain. And I'm going to come back. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. The purpose of the Holy Ghost, or one of the purposes of the Holy Ghost in our lives, is to bring us peace and comfort. And we need that right now. Peace and comfort. The peace God gives, he says, doesn't leave. That means when plagues come, I still have peace. When financial crisis happens, I still have peace. When disease and sickness hits my body, I still have peace. When my car breaks down, which it did today, by the way. Hallelujah, praise God, it all worked out. But anyway, I walked a mile and a half down the interstate by myself with trucks blowing me over. But it's okay, I survived, hallelujah. God got me through. This has not been the best day. I've had a couple things happen today, so it's not been the best day in the natural with different things that today has happened to me. But you know what? The peace that God gives me remains. A car breaks down, I've still got God. Everything happens, I've still got God. I've still got the Lord, and you have the Lord, and that's all that really matters. So trust in him and have peace. This peace shouldn't leave because situations change. I know Anna said, I think Anna was watching a while ago. If you're still watching, Anna, I want to share with you, with everybody else, what you said in devotional one time was really good. You said that joy is a feeling. Joy is a feeling, and it is. But you said peace is a state of being, and how true that is. You know, joy comes and goes with our situation. We get a promotion, yay, we're happy. We get fired, no, we're sad. We get a new car, yay, we're happy. Then it breaks down, we're sad. But peace is a state of being. I can have peace knowing my car broke down, still got peace. Times are tough, still got peace. I'm down my last can of Beanie Weenies, I still got peace because I still got that last can, and it's mine, all mine. Peace is a state of being, and that's what we need to understand, what we're facing now, that the peace of God should be your state of being, no matter what you're seeing or feeling. Verse 13, I love this verse. This is the power verse of what we're going to read tonight, the power verse. After they're whining to Moses, they're complaining, you know, serve the Egyptians, I'd rather die in Egypt than die out here where God's brought us. I mean, really? How can you go back to something when God's brought you out? Wow. Moses said to the people, fear ye not. If you're at home, I want you to say that. I will fear not. I will fear not. I don't have to fear because I know the peace speaker. I know the one that calms my storm. I know the one that calms the storm in me. I know the one that can settle my anxiety and my stress. I know the one that can calm my thoughts and my tormenting dreams. I know the one who can steady my ship and anchor my soul. That's who I serve. So do not fear. That's what Moses says to the people. Do not fear. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. Where you are tonight, God can show you his salvation. He can show you, he can give you what you need tonight. That when you lay your head on your pillow tonight, it's different than last night because God has visited you in a special way now to give you what you need. Just stand still and trust the Lord. There's times that's all we can do is stand. He goes on to say, these Egyptians who you see today, you shall see them again no more for how long? Forever. God wasn't going to do a temporary solution. God wasn't just going to do a temporary movement. God had an eternal, forever solution to their problem. These Egyptians chasing them would not be chasing them anymore and wouldn't have a chance to chase them ever again because of what he's going to do here in a few more verses. He was letting them know to the people, stand still, God's going to show himself today. And this enemy you're so afraid of, you're going to see them no more. S-E-E this time. But it could be S-E-A as well as we get to it. That's why my message was see no more. God is going to take the enemy out of their lives to where they're no longer a threat. So understand, God is fighting for you. It says that in verse 14. Moses tells them, the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. What Moses is saying, what the Lord is saying, is he's going to fight. Just shut up and let him fight. Just be quiet and quit stressing and quit complaining and quit grumbling and quit trying to figure it out and quit being so pessimistic about everything around and just hold your peace. Just be still and trust what God is going to do. God didn't bring you through all of this for you to die in the wilderness. You think God went through all those 10 plagues and all that stuff? And think of, you know when this moment started, y'all? It started on the backside of a desert. Moses was a fugitive from the law. He was a murderer. He had killed a Hebrew, buried him in the sand, and then took off. And so he was out minding his business in the desert, tending sheep and being all that stuff. And then he went by a bush one day, and the bush caught on fire, but it wasn't being consumed. And out of the bush, a voice spoke and called out to him, Moses, Moses. And he began to talk to this burning bush. And God gave him a commission and says, I've heard the cries of your people, and I'm going to send you to be a deliverer. I'm going to send you to bring them out. God had already spoken the word. It already had been established. They weren't going to die in the wilderness. God had done commissioned a deliverance. He's commissioned your deliverance. He's already spoken into your life. So trust the word of God in your life that it's going to be fulfilled to the final extent of what God has said into your life. Started a long time ago with the fugitive from the law. Brought them in. 10 plagues. Brought them out. Now they're on their journey. And now troubles come. The people are complaining and whining. They're afraid. And Moses says, look, God's going to fight this. Just watch. Watch what he's going to do. The Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they what? Go forward. I want to encourage you, what we're doing right now and what's happening in our country, you keep going forward. You keep going forward. That's why we are here and we will be here, church, on location in this sanctuary. That is so important to me that we are here on Wednesdays and Sundays, like always, going forward. If I got to preach to cups, that's okay, because I see those cups and I see your name. And I want to say this, by the way. I actually have a few cups with no names for our guests that may show up. So I even thought about that. It's because, you know, a lot of times we have guests that show up on services. So I even allowed a couple of cups for people that I don't even know their names that God's going to send. And so I am walking by faith by putting these cups out. I'm walking by faith by being here on location. Our worship team is walking by faith by being here for you guys to lead in song. And they are going forward, and I am going forward. And we are going to keep going in the direction God's called us to do. God has not called us to retreat when fear comes. God has not called us to stop moving forward when crisis comes. We are the people of God. We are people of faith. We are the light and salt to the world. We are the example that should be standing strong in this time, encouraging those, keep marching, keep speaking, keep praying, keep serving, keep giving, keep believing, keep doing what you've always done. This is not going to stop the people of God. This is just another giant, another crisis, another Red Sea, but it is going to be gone out of our lives, and we are going to cross over this bridge as God's people, and it won't be us that gets the glory. It will be God that will get the glory, where they're going to look and say, this is God that has kept us. It's God that crosses over. It's God that preserved us. It's God that protected us through all of this sickness and disease. It's God that did this. God's going to get the glory for this season to show who he is, that he is the living God. He is my living God, and I hope he is your living God tonight that are watching. Keep going forward. Verse 16, lift up your rod, stretch out your hand over the sea, and divide it, that the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst, right down the middle of Broadway. They're going to cross over. Remember, Pharaoh's army, 600 chariots, are coming behind them. There's a big body of water over here on this side, and they have nowhere to go. They are truly shut in, like you feel right now. You're shut in right now. with no escape and nowhere to go. But God gives Moses a commission. Raise up your rod, raise up your hand, and just watch what I'm going to do. Because the obstacle in front of you that you're seeing right now, I'm going to make it your delivering mechanism. I'm going to make it be the one that delivers you. The very thing that's blocking you right now that you're afraid of, I'm going to turn that evil, that blockage, that enemy, that wall, I'm going to turn it around to good for you and use it for your escape. See, God put them there. It wasn't that Moses messed up on his GPS. It wasn't that Siri was wrong, okay? The Bible plainly says in verse 1 or verse 2 that God changed their direction. God put them on this place to be at this exact moment so that he could show up and show off of what he was about to do. God wanted an audience to reflect and see who he was. And boy, was it going to happen. So verse 17. And I, behold, will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. So remember, I didn't read, but before this, there was a cloud by day and a fire by night. And the fire by night would lead them, as in front of the children of Israel, would lead them to where they needed to go. Now God's reversed this and says, I'm going to put this angel, I'm going to put this cloud now behind you. And the pillar of the cloud went from their face and stood behind them. You know why? God was blocking the enemy from getting to them. God was putting separation between the children of Israel and the Egyptians. So the cloud had moved from front of them, from leading them, to now behind them to protect them. God does what he needs to do. That's why his angels truly are all around us. They're all around us. Wherever he needs to be, God positions them to protect us and bless us and be with us. And that cloud, verse 20 says, came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, to the Egyptians. But it gave light by night to these. So the one that came near the other, one didn't come near the other all the night. God took a source, one source, and used it as darkness to block one people out, and used it as light to lead the other people. That's what God does. That's why we serve a God that we must recognize has a kingdom that's not this kingdom. That our source, our needs, our supply doesn't come from our wallet, doesn't come from our job, doesn't come from what we see here, what we can touch. Our source truly is of God. He supplies our needs according to his riches and glory. And he was supplying the needs to the Israelites by this cloud, blocking them and separating them. God was showing himself who he was. It came to pass, verse 21, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back with a strong east wind all that night. You know why that is? Because God is over the wind. God speaks to the wind. God is over the weather. God is over all creation. Nothing moves, crawls, blows, blinks, looks, hears, listens, walks without the command of God. He's over it all. And this strong east wind blew all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. I want you to visualize you standing down at the beach. And I know right now that's you just see that. And so you're at the ocean, right? And you're standing there on the shore. And all of a sudden, right where you're standing, the waters part like this and just divide. And you have two walls of water and nothing but dry sand in front of you. Visualize that moment. Visualize what's happening here. God spoke. God blew his breath upon his creation. The waters had to divide because God said to divide. They had to obey because God said to obey. They had to part because God said for it to part. The natural things of this world are governed and under the authority of the King of the supernatural world. It's everything. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Every enemy has to bow at the name of Jesus. And so these winds were blowing all night long and created this dry path right in front of them. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea up on dry ground. We are in the middle of a storm right now and a battle right now in this nation. We're in the middle of it. And right in the middle of this storm, in the middle of what was blocking them from moving forward, God took it out of the way. As we move forward with our lives the best that we can, trust that God is going to take those obstacles out of our way. As we take step of faith, by step of faith, by step of faith, trusting that God is moving those mountains, He's slaying those giants, He's moving that Red Sea out of our way to position us exactly where He wants us to go. Your back may be against a wall, but maybe God put you there for that reason. There may be something right in front of you that you can't see past. Maybe God put you right there for a reason. For Him to show up and finally show all of us who's in control. It's not us. It is Him. It's not the people. It is Him. It's not science or doctors. It's Him. It's definitely not the news anchors. It's Him. God is in control. God knows what's happening. And God is going to carry us through this storm again, this battle again, slay this giant again, because that's what my God is. He's a giant slayer. He's a lion tamer. He is a healer of all things. That's who I serve. And all the source that I ever need, every need I have, every need you have tonight watching, God has what you need in His arsenal. Just talk to Him, call out to Him, and trust Him, and stand still and wait for the answer in your life to come, because it will. Glory. They went right in the middle of the sea up on dry ground. In the middle of the battle, they're safe. I want you to hear this. In the middle of a crisis, they're safe. In the middle of immediate capture, they're safe. In the middle of being put back in bondage and carried back into slavery, they're safe. In the middle of this attack, they are safe because they are right where God put them. No matter the very thing that kept them from crossing, the very thing that could have destroyed them, was God was using that to make a way for them. When there seemeth to be no way, God makes a way, and He will make a way for you. They went on dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left. Here's something else I've never thought about to just really this moment right here, just now, reading that. I wonder, as they were walking across this dry ground, now, it took them, if you do some studying, it took them all night to cross this. It wasn't just a little, you know, yakin river. This took all night long. It was an all-night journey to get across. And God kept the winds blowing all night long. God kept the walls up all night long. I wonder if anyone was nervous about stepping in there. Was anyone nervous? They saw them walls of water, and they really got in there. Was they looking, thinking, oh, Lord, I hope they don't collapse. You know, I hope they don't fall. I hope, you know, what are we doing? Because now we're really in trouble. Because now if something happens to this water, we all go drown. Because we're in the middle of it. We're right in the middle of it. But the walls that could destroy them were kept at attention by the authority of God. The very walls that could have crushed them were held at attention by the hand of God. And the water could not hurt them. The fire, the Bible says, cannot burn them. Remember the verse says, I walk through water, it won't drown me. Walk through fire, it won't burn me. Why? Because God is the authority over all things. And as they were standing there, they were at attention. They were at the very command of a spoken God that says, you must stay still till my people cross over. They went right through the heart of the storm. We're praying right now. The storm goes away. And it will go away. It definitely will go away as far as how we see it now. But sometimes it's not that the storm goes away as much as us as God's people should be going forward right through the storm, trusting God that as the storm rages and the wind blows, God is in control and God is going to take care of you. So don't let fear govern you. Let your faith in Him move you into the place God has for you. Glory to God. They went right through it. God didn't just take the water out of the way completely. He could just sucked it dry, right? Or had a big drain hole like a cartoon. Pull a plug. It didn't happen that way. God just made them. God really made them face the thing that was holding them back. And they had to go through it with their children, with their livestock, with little old granny and little old mama and little old pop and little old dad. As they're going across hand in hand, going through that dry ground, seeing what God was doing, and pretty amazed, I'm sure, and probably giving God glory. But in the back of their mind might have been thinking, man, I sure hope this east wind stays blowing, because, man, if it don't, we's in trouble. I'm glad that God is in control of my storm, and God is in control of my battles, and that's whom I trust. They're going through here. Of course, the Egyptians in verse 23, they go after them. They're going to pursue them. And they went in after them in the midst of the sea as well. They chased them right down the pike. They're right there with them. Even all of Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning, watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians and took off their chariot wheels that they drave them heavily. So the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. Their wheels started falling off. It's like Barney Fife's car he bought, bless his little heart. The steering wheel coming out and cluck, 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 cluck. Can you imagine they're going, them chariots, you know, and they're, go, get it, and they're flying through there. And all of a sudden their wheels just start falling off. It wasn't they had bad wheels. It wasn't they didn't go to the repair shop on time. God was taking those, God was stopping their pursuit. God can stop the pursuit against your life. God can stop the attack of fear and depression, discouragement. God can stop that in your life if you let him and let him fight your battle and quit worrying about it yourself. Say, God, you're able to disable the things that are attacking me. You're able to disengage and get away from me, what's coming after me. You're able to step in and block and stop the very thing that's causing me torment. And you, God, can do it. God took their wheels off, so they started running backwards to get away from them. But look what God did. In verse 26, the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand again over the sea, that the waters may come again up on the Egyptians, their chariots and their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. The Lord overthrew, the Lord did it, the Lord did it, overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the seas. The very thing that saved the children of Israel was the very thing that destroyed their enemies. God can take in your life what's meant for evil and turn it into good. God can take what the devil means to destroy you with and turn it into a victory in your life. These Egyptians now were swallowed up by the sea and all their horses and all their chariots. Verse 28, the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remaineth not so much as one of them. None. God did a complete work. Here's the beauty of God versus us. We do a partial work. We can accomplish partial things. Doctors can accomplish partial things. Scientists can accomplish partial things. But man, God completes things. You know, when God used to heal people, we read the New Testament, when God healed people in the New Testament, the issue of blood woman and all the people he healed supernaturally, this was a forever healing. It wasn't just for 6 months. It didn't come back. There is no doubt in my mind when he touched the woman with the issue of blood, it never came back in her life, ever. Ever. She was healed. Because the Bible says, Jesus says, you have been made whole. You're whole again. You're complete again. God does a complete work. That's what he did at Calvary with salvation. It was a complete work. It wasn't a partial work. Many people teach, yeah, we're saved by grace, Pastor, but you got it. No, you don't do nothing. You're saved by grace, period. You're not saved by your works. You're saved by grace. Jesus did a complete work at Calvary to completely absolve and be a propitiation, as we said Sunday, which means an atoning sacrifice for your sins. That's what Jesus did. He did a complete work. He did it completely and finally for all of us. These waters have now covered up their enemies. All the chariots are covered. There's not a one of them left. But verse 29, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of
the seas, and the waters were a wall on their left hand and on their right. Man, that's exciting. Right now, we can walk through the middle of this crisis, in the middle of this thing, and the walls and hands of God is going to protect us and keep us, and that's what I'm trusting. I'm trusting for God to keep the east wind blowing the whole time this thing lasts, that no matter what happens or how long it lasts, I'm in the midst of it, but I'm not being overcome by it. I'm in the middle of it, but I'm not being defeated by it. I'm right there where it's at, but God is holding me up, saying, no, not this one, not that one, not you watching at home. That's my seed. That's my children. That's my heritage. That's the covenant people. No, I will keep the wind blowing until this storm passes and we cross over on dry land into our victory. Hallelujah. One more verse, we'll close out. The Lord, or two more verses. The Lord saved Israel that day. The Lord saved them out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Now the people did believe the Lord until the next crisis came. You read Exodus, it's a whole event book of ups and downs for the people. You know, they got mad, and they got thirsty one time, whined about that, and whined about traveling, and whined about walking, and whined about this, and, you know, all this stuff. When Moses went and got the commandments, remember what they did? He went on the mountain for 40 days to pray and seek God's face. He came down, and they got a party going on down there, and just went crazy because they weren't keeping their eyes on God. Things in our lives change day to day, week to week, year to year. Our lives change. But the constant Word of God remains, and who He is remains. And if we can't trust Him in a crisis, we can't trust Him and believe in Him right now, we can't ever believe in Him. Because we shouldn't just believe in God when things are right. Believing in God when things are wrong is where faith is really tested. And right now, as you're watching at home, if you're still with me tonight, I want to encourage you to trust the Lord through this. This is another faith story that we have read of where God showed up in a supernatural way where there was no way. They were trapped, they were afraid, but yet God showed up and God made a way. And God is going to make a way in your life. You trust Him, you believe in Him, and watch what happens. God is in control. So, everybody good? If you're good at home, say amen. I hope you are. We'll be here again, of course, Sunday morning live at 10 o'clock. So tune in with us. We'll have a little more of our worship team, of course, here on Sunday morning. And we'll go through this process week by week as we have to, honoring God. But I do believe God's going to get the glory out of this, and God is going to bring us out of this stronger and mightier in Him than we were before. Because the devil can't stop what God's doing. He just can't shut it down. He can't shut down God. And I'm just thankful there's no executive order that can shut down the power of God. That's a good thing. And God's going to keep on moving forward. And we're going to keep on moving forward in God. So be encouraged and be strong. We'll close out in prayer tonight. Father, I pray this message tonight was an encouragement to those that were watching and those that are here with us tonight. I pray, God, that we were strengthened by it, empowered by it. And I just pray that we will let You fight our battle, and that right now as we feel trapped and shut in and surrounded by so many negative things, that we'll just stand still, God, and we'll look for Your salvation, and You will part our waters. You're going to calm our seas. You're going to carry us across. We are going to go to the other side. We are going to make it because You've already ordained that to happen. And there's nothing in this world that can ever stop what You have already planned. And we thank You, God, that we're going to follow You through this time and keep moving forward day by day. Bless Your people and keep Your people. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.